Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer and performer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one. I'm here to tell you a little bit about Prep Dish. This is Shaylee. I love to eat healthy and cook healthy for my family, but sometimes recipes that involve a lot of cans and a lot of noodles and a lot of frozen pizzas tend to be my quick, easy meals when we're trying not to eat out. Prep Dish is, they're amazing. They send you a shopping list and all of the instructions. They even organize the shopping list based on how the grocery store is laid out. It's fabulous. So you do all the shopping, you get everything you need. It makes you try new things maybe you wouldn't have tried before. And then you get home and you prep it all in about 2 to 3 hours in one day. And then you have everything lined out for the whole week. And then you just basically pull out these delicious chef-inspired meals and you heat them up, warm them up, pop them in the oven, and your family's ready to go. So visit prepdish.com/SK, and the founder, Allison, is offering our listeners a free 2-week trial. So it's a complete no-brainer. There's nothing to risk. Try it out, see how much time it saves, and it might be the perfect thing for your sanity as a mother or a person. I don't want to offend anyone. Dads that love to cook but have no time. It's save you time, dads. Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. This week, our topic is spring.
Spring is here.
You can actually hear, I think there's a bird just chirping right outside the window. So
come back later for turndown service.
Come back later. Yeah. No, we're so excited. So when we think of spring, we think of spring cleaning, we think of decluttering, and we think of what to do with all of that. So we are so excited to talk about cleaning. Katie's fired up. I'm fired up.
Woo!
But I want to tell you about something fun that we're doing today. This is different. We've never done this before.
Okay, yeah, tell me.
Okay, it's called a pod hop.
Love it.
We didn't come up with it. Our friends came up with it, but we're claiming it on this episode because it's what we're doing.
It sounds cute.
Yeah, so we're getting together with some other design podcasts, and we've all picked the same topic, which is surprise spring. And we're all talking about spring this week. So on all of the podcasts that are doing the pod hop, we're all talking about spring. We're talking about spring cleaning because we're really original. We're a design podcast. So go check out. It's the Home Hour, Style Matters Podcast, and North South Makers. They're all fabulous shows. We're really excited to hear them chat about spring. We're going to chat about spring. And you guys might find a new great show to add to your long list of favorite podcasts that we know you're all listening to. Yeah. So we'll tag them in our Instagram posts and put them in our show notes if you want to go find them at shayleeandkatie.com. And if you're listening from one of those shows and you've hopped over here,
welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Pull up a chair.
We're a chatty podcast, so buckle up.
Buckle up.
Okay, so
before we get into the content.
Oh, I was fired up. Okay.
If this is your first episode, we have one more thing we have to do.
Right.
We have and to that think. Is to thank our fake sponsor. Now, before we had real sponsors, Shaylee and I.
We've never broken this down. We've never explained this. We've never explained this in 2 years. Okay, you're going to explain
before it. Before we had real sponsors, Shaylee and I only had one thing supporting us, which was fake sponsors.
The love
fake
in our companies. Hearts from fake companies.
And they demanded that we come up with fake taglines.
It's contractual.
In a fake contract.
In a fake contest.
That never existed. So this episode is brought to you by
Fiddle Leaf Figs.
Like the plant? Like the little tree?
You know.
Yeah, oh, I know.
You know what it is. If you don't know what a fiddle leaf fig is, Google it, click on images, and you'll be like,
that thing I see all over apartment therapy.
It is basically like, it's going to be the next princess of the UK. You just didn't know it. Like, that's how frequently you see it. It's, I'm pretty sure, on the cover of People this week.
It was voted this year's sexiest plant alive.
Sexiest plant alive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless it's in my house.
Unless you trim
it.
And then, yeah. Right.
Okay, so we need some taglines for Fiddle Leaf Figs. Okay. Although those were gold already.
Okay. Fiddle Leaf Figs. Doesn't this corner look better now?
Yep. Nailed it. TM.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle leaf figs. If I plant a fiddle and I plant a fig, will it grow into a fiddle leaf fig?
Fiddle leaf fig. You can trim it and hope that it grows more in the spring, but if you look at it for too long, it dies.
It dies if you look at it for too
They're
long.
They're so fickle.
Fickle. Should be called fickle leaf fig. Fickle leaf fig. Up top.
Up top. Hey-o. Okay.
All right. So now let's get into the meat.
Yeah, spring. Spring is time to clean. So I'm going to throw it over to my resident dirty person. to tell us what she thinks of when she hears the word spring.
I can call me resident dirty person. You can call me too. Resident
We're
dirty
of one mind.
Okay, fair enough. If this is your first episode, you may know me. This is Katie. I am one of the textbook, like, free spirit, creative, whirlwind minds that can't possibly figure out how to clean up after themselves.
You're not dirty, you're just creative.
Right? Sure, yeah, that's what I tell myself. But about a year ago, Shaylee, we've been doing this podcast for like
2 years.
2 years. So was it, I mean, almost Earth? 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know.
Episode 24, I led an episode called Cleaning Tips from a Dirty Person.
And it's one of everyone's favorites.
People like to hear about it.
Dirty people want to hear how to get clean.
It's true. But I, at the time, kind of set the groundwork for my brain and how I don't really see the mess. And it's hot. I have to set all these timers to remember to pick up after myself. And it's just this mental struggle all day long. But I'm happy to report that the habits I established in that episode, I have been consistently doing for over a year. Like, this is like, I could get emotional about it. Because if you're not a naturally dirty person, you can't relate.
There's a tear, like her one of her eyes is glossy.
Because it was like a big source of like anxiety. Tension in my house and anxiety. My husband's very neat, and I would be like, "Whoa, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I felt like I was constantly being like, "But look at all these other good things I do good.
We painted leaves.
and then I left all the paints out. Oh, I see. I see. You don't care about the leaves. I get it.
That's good though.
But so I feel like if there's hope for me, there's hope for anyone. And if you're already a naturally clean person, I think those tips can help you too. So if you're interested in that, go back to episode 24. But also, we have also mentioned many other cleaning topics on this show.
Yeah,
episode
we like
21. We dissected the life-changing magic of tidying up with Sarah Jenkins.
Thanks, that's KonMari.
One of our highest rated episodes because everybody wants life-changing magic.
That's the highest, thanks to KonMari.
And we did an entire Organize Your Life series, episodes 53 through 56.
You're blowing my mind right now. She's researched.
Rain Man. I'm Rain Man in my episodes. But we tackled topics like your kids' toys. What do you do with those? Capsule wardrobe made Shaylee's heart die because she loves to collect clothes. Basic purging tips. We even went as far as to organizing your daily tasks and your admin tasks. So I loved that series as well. Sometimes I re-listen to your admin one because it feels like it whips me into shape. Wow. So we've done this topic before, but I just wanted to recap that this dirty person has found a few things that have kept me clean. And the number one tip of all the tips is that it's way easier to clean, keep a house clean if there are fewer items in it to clean, period.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we always hear like, organize, you got to reorganize. Here's the system for reorganizing. I'm saying don't reorganize, minimize.
If you have more stuff than will fit in a room, it doesn't matter how you organize it. It's not going to fit in that room.
Because your end goal is that every item should have a spot. And if every item has a spot, it's very, very easy to pick up an item and put it back in its spot. What happens is if you have an item and no spot, it becomes a pile, or it becomes like a procrastination, or it becomes like a, I don't know.
Yes.
So instead of saying, how do I fit 100 of these items into this closet? It's how can I reduce this 100 items to the 20 items that will actually fit in this closet? And it truly, like, it's empowering.
Good.
It's empowering.
I'm so excited. But that makes me more excited for this topic then.
But the number one thing, and I said it at the time and Shaylee kind of goffed at it, although when I explained it, you kind of were like, wait a minute, okay, that's a twist on it. The number one thing that spiraled into taking control of the rest of my house was the dishwasher tip. Yeah. And this is a tip from Noni on the A Slob Comes Clean podcast shout out, which is every single night, no matter what, you run your dishwasher.
No matter if it's quote unquote full.
You don't have to think about it. It's a non-negotiable. You've already made that decision.
You run it.
Run that dishwasher. And then every morning when you're brewing your little coffee, because you usually have to wait a minute there too.
You empty it.
You empty it. And you start every single morning in your house with an empty dishwasher, because when I said every item has a spot, that includes a dirty dish.
Ooh.
Where is the spot for the dirty dish? Is it piled up on the counter? Is it piled up in the sink? No, it goes straight into the dishwasher. And you say, you stay there, little sweetheart, because tonight I'm going to give you a little bath.
Tonight I'm coming for you. I'm not going to. The dishwasher's going to, but I'm going to push the button.
But you sit there for now because that's your spot and I already made that choice. So I'm not going, I'm already behind, or, oh gosh, is the dishwasher full enough? Should I wait till tomorrow to see if it gets double? No, stop it.
Stuff it.
Run it.
Because then what happens if then you fill it, you run out of space, and you still have dirty dishes, and then you, run it for two. I mean, you guys know.
You know. You know how it goes. So every single night, run your dishwasher, even if it's half full. So once again, don't reorganize, minimize. So how do you get rid of your items? If you're sentimental, like you love your items, you love them, you remember everything about how you came about it. The easiest thing is KonMari method. Does this item spark joy? You actually hold it in your hand.
Touch it.
You actually touch it and feel like if it's saying, like you're touching it saying, I'm getting rid of you. And you wait for the item to be like, don't. Keep me.
Keep me.
And then you go, okay, item, you stay. But something that's helped me through this process is to remember that it's just a thing. Have you ever heard the expression like nothing tastes as good as thin feels, like when you're losing weight?
I think that the new politically correct way to say that is nothing tastes as good as healthy feels.
Fine.
But yes, I used to say the photo that said skinny feels.
Yeah, right. I feel like it's like no item brings you as much joy as having your house under control.
Clean feels.
Does. Yes. Yeah, that's feeling good. In control of your habitat is more meaningful than the item. And chances are, either you won't remember it, or you'll remember it and be like, where is that? And then you like can't find it, and then you're like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Since we're calling back episodes, the toy organizational episode, when you talked about like putting things on rotation and putting it in a tub in the garage, that's one of my tips, is like put your crud on rotation for yourself. And if you put it in a box... We've moved before, and it's sat in a box for 2 years, and I'm like, I don't even know what's in that box. Exactly. If I don't know what's in that box, and I haven't needed it in 2 years, odds are I don't need it.
Yes.
So just, meh.
Yep.
Get rid of it.
And I would say, too, like, we have a guest coming up, Madison Headland, who talks about owning your story, and sometimes you write a story about yourself that isn't necessarily even true. I wrote the story that I was this dirty person who couldn't get under control, and that's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm empowering myself to rewrite my story. Like sometimes I even jokingly am like, I'm a neat freak, which is I'm far from. But I'm kind of trying to like say I'm not just this slob who's like, oh, well, it's hopeless. Like I'm trying to say I'm someone who has their life under control. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have 4 kids, but I feel like I'm in a place now where if I had a guest coming over in an hour, I could probably pull it off.
Yeah. And I keep asking that like, hey, don't clean if I'm on my way over to your house. Don't clean. I'm coming over and like, I don't have to clean because my house was already clean. And I thought, yeah.
It's very good.
Very good.
Okay. So if you are getting a bunch of items and you're getting rid of them, if you decided to part ways with them, what is a good way to get rid of them?
Why don't you lob that one over to me here, Catherine?
I'm
going to
go ahead and lob it over.
Okay. So one thing I'm passionate about in life.
Oh boy, she just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Is organizing and decluttering. So I find joy in like organizing. I will drag everything out and get a big pile of stuff that I want to get rid of. So one of the ways that I like to get rid of stuff is
set it on fire.
Garage sales. And spring reminds me of garage sales because I also frequent garage sales. I just am in a cycle of selling my stuff in a garage sale, and then I buy stuff at other people's garage sales. But I buy stuff at old people garage sales. So I don't want to go to a garage sale of a 30-year-old mom selling like kid stuff. Right. I just drive by those slowly and awkwardly. I like going to the old people garage sale where they got good stuff, or estate sales. So that's what I think of when I think of spring. So this is perfect that, Katie, what you think of when you think of spring is cleaning up your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to walk us through what to do when you got that big old pile of stuff after you've decluttered.
Right.
So I'm going to talk us through some practical tips and things to do. Maybe if you're like a veteran garage saler, this will probably be stuff that you just get to nod along and be like, yeah, good stuff. I already knew that. But if you're someone who's kind of like, garage sale, that sounds like a lot of work. And
yep, that's me.
Months and months of preparation. I could never.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking right now.
I'm going to talk you through, Katie. Some ways to do it. I have done a...
Set it on fire!
I've done a garage sale before, no joke, without pricing anything or going through the bank.
What?
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh.
But I've done it, and it just goes to show it's kind of like, well, just figure it out. I mean, they're coming to your garage sale. You make the rules.
Okay.
So it's not like you have to do a garage sale a certain way. It's like, it's your garage. It's your stuff.
You just put it in a pile.
And if you want them
through it.
To have to ask you, well, okay, no. So there's a better way.
Okay.
So let's say, okay, so start going through your stuff. No excuses. Pre-sale. All right. Just to like go through some tips. One room at a time. getting all your stuff. I know we already have the pile, hypothetically. But use paper sacks or bins so that you can actually get it all out to your garage. Mm-hmm. And once it goes in a paper sack or bin in that big pile of your house, it doesn't come back out. So if you have a toddler and you have a bag of toys, get it out of your house or it's all coming back out.
You better make sure she can't see through that bin.
You better hide that bin full of Chick-fil-A toys because they will be back out. Okay, so I would say my idea of enough stuff to have a garage sale of how much you actually need is if it's enough to cover at least like 2 big folding tables of things. Mm-hmm. So just sheer volume wise. So to me, if it's less than that, sometimes I'll just donate it unless I think I'm going to have more soon and then I'll hoard it until I'm ready for a sale. Large items attract people. Mm-hmm. So if you have something like a lawnmower or a bicycle or a chair or an area rug or anything volume-wise that's large.
Those are all large items.
I'm good. People stop for that. So even if you don't...
People stop for a lawnmower, huh?
Oh my goodness. I have 2 lawnmowers. Neither one of them worked.
What is wrong
all
with
day
you?
People were like, is the lawnmower sold? People love tools. Yeah, we don't mow our own lawn. Go figure. We had all the broken lawnmowers. We'd buy one and then it'd break. Be like, let's just pay someone to do it. We'll just hold on to this lawnmower that doesn't work. We have a chainsaw that doesn't work. We're full of really cool stuff. So anyway, but people love that kind of thing. And when they see something that's large, they think that looks interesting. And I've caught myself doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I don't have anything large, I'll be like, hey, mom, you got any stuff right, you need to sell? If you don't have enough stuff, find a friend or two. Make sure that it's not a friend that's like just going to go dump a whole bunch of stuff off at your house and then you're having their garage sale for them. Make sure that it's like, hey, do you want to work this garage sale with me and bring your stuff over and, you know, do it together? Because then sometimes, A, it's more fun because you're with a friend. But then, B, you have more stuff to attract more people. Okay. Also, if you absolutely can't decide, this is what I touched on, put it in a box. You can call it boxing it or putting it in rotation. So let's say you can't bring yourself to sell it, but you don't think that you really need it and you're just going back and forth. Put it in a big old tub and put it somewhere in your garage or wherever. And then wait like 6 months to a year, and then the sting will wear off, and you'll be like, I've not needed that thing. I really don't need it. Mm. Then sell it or donate it, if you have to. KonMari would be like, no! You're going against everything I've taught. Okay, tables to use and clothing racks. Garage, this is probably a barrier that keeps people from doing it. A lot of people think, I don't have tables, or I don't have a clothing rack. I have hung clothing on the top of a garage door rail.
That is a clothing rack.
It is a clothing rack. Mm-hmm. You can take 2 ladders and put like a broom in between it and use that.
Aww.
Clothes do sell better hung.
Ooh.
Than like my flashbacks of working at Abercrombie Kids when you can never keep that folded table folded. So what happens is you fold all your clothes all nice and then like people start digging and plowing through it. And stuff doesn't look like it's worth, you know, $5 if it like has leaves on it because it fell on the ground and it's all wadded in a massive pile.
This is then free marketing
like,
advice.
50 cents. And you're like, no, that was from Anthropology. They don't care. They're at a garage sale. So I like to hang my clothes and then they're like, can I keep the hanger? I'm like, no. You're paying me $1.50 for that Anthropology shirt. You cannot keep my plastic hanger. Give it back in a nice way. And then the other thing, stick some Walmart bags out there. So if anybody asks for a sack, you can do that. These are all just really practical things. If you don't have tables, you can get creative. A lot of the big stuff like a comforter. I've sold a bunch of comforters and pillows. People love comforters and pillows. Don't ask me
seriously
why you would buy something at a garage sale you can't like wash. I guess you could wash it, but not like a feather pillow. Anyway, I don't know. To each his own. But those things sell really well. You can lay a lot of those on the ground, or you can lay out like a big tarp or like a quilt and like put stuff on top of it. Think of it like a picnic for your things. or you could get like a, bring one of your tables inside from outside, or lay like a piece of wood on 2 chairs. You could get really creative with
ways to make tables. You could use your lawnmowers.
Use 2 broken lawnmowers with balance a piece of wood in between.
Use a chainsaw.
Balance the chainsaw.
You know what? If you don't have a table, I hear there's a great deal on tables at local garage sales.
That's what I hear. Balance a piece of glass on a broken chainsaw. That becomes your accessory table. But my dad owns a business in town. So if you have someone who has like a church or, you know, someone that has like a,
I was going to say private school. That's probably not reasonable.
Or a friend that has garage sales. Or let's say you want to have garage sales from now on, or you like hosting parties. You can get those folding plastic tables at Walmart or Sam's that fold up. They don't take up a lot of space, and they're like $20 to $40, I think. But they fold up, and you could just get one or two of those, and that would be enough stuff for whatever.
We got two of those for my daughter's first birthday party, and we used them all for everything. The time.
Yeah.
And they store into nothing.
They store into nothing. They're really great. So I would suggest that being a good investment. So I do that. Okay.
Brought to you by Tables.
Go to the bank. Unless you're a hoarder of small bills and change, which some of you are. So to start a garage sale, I don't have a like exact number of what you need to start with, but you need ones and fives and change, and assume everyone's going to pay with a 20. I don't know why, but everyone pays in large bills. Sometimes people have exact change. But if like, you know, a few people pay with a 20 and all you have are ones and fives, you don't have any tens or anything, and they're buying stuff for like $1.50, then all of a sudden all your change is gone. And then you have to like get creative to get people to pay with smaller bills. So go to the bank, or now I just keep like a plastic bag of like change in my house. Don't rob me. But I just keep like a plastic bag of change that I have is like my garage sale change. I don't know. Don't ask me why. And so I have that. And then sometimes.
I want to pause for a second.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the robber.
Okay. Stay at home mom that has a creative business.
First of all.
Okay.
There is someone who listens to podcasts who heard that you have
a baggie of garage sale change. They're probably here already, staking me out.
And they decided, I'm going to rob her.
I'm going to hack into her iPhone and find her geotagged photos, find out where she lives, and rob her. Or you could just wait till I have a garage sale and I'll just tell you where I live. And you could just rob the garage sale.
All right. I just needed to clarify that.
Thank you.
So Robert, if you're that person,
don't rob me.
Don't rob her.
I'll be ready. Okay. So go to the bank. If you have, I would say if you have like $20 of ones and maybe like $20 in fives and then some tens, that's probably enough.
What does that add up to? Less than $100?
Yeah, I'd say if you get $100 in change-ish, $80 in change. And a lot of people do pay in ones or with change. It's just you never know. So it's being prepared for everything. So this is when I tell you my, like, when I was young, my, like, war story. So one time I didn't go to the bank at all. I actually woke up late. And I just, like, rolled on out there with, like, nothing. And so I just kept telling people, like, they could have a discount. And I think I just kept saying, I worked the whole garage sale by myself. I don't know where Jonathan was. Actually, so fun fact, this was my other thing, is like, people be crazy, they will come early. Someone rang our doorbell at like 6:45 in the morning.
Because
I didn't put a start time. Yes. I just put like Thursday and Friday.
But on what?
There were signs out.
Oh, okay.
You put signs out like 3 days before.
Okay.
Oh, Catherine. You put signs out. So they rang my doorbell. And I think I had a start time. And he goes, I answered it, which, why? And I answered it at 6:45 in the morning, and he goes, hey, I was just, is this where the garage sale is? I just didn't know if it had started yet or not. 6:45 in the morning. No, literally, that's a joke. And I go, no, yeah, we're not open yet. It's a garage sale. My garage is shut. And he goes, okay, I just didn't know if it was like inside or.
Cool. Could you make me a sandwich?
Cool. Like, you got coffee going? No, I just rolled out of bed. I don't even probably have a bra on. Thank you, sir.
Sir. Wait, are you here for my change?
I know.
Are you a burglar?
Here, I just threw my change at him and he left. It knocked him out, actually, so he crawled off my lawn. Yeah, come steal my change and I'll just throw it at you. Anyway, but he literally, so he like knocked on my door to like make sure the sale wasn't inside. Beautiful day. It was not raining. So anyway.
So some people, this is like their hobby.
Right. So then the people pleaser me, instead of getting like mad at him, was like, I better start this sale soon. I don't have time to go to the bank. I'm late. Someone's ringing on my door already. So I just started the sale, didn't go to the bank. And Jonathan's the type that it's not like he's not helpful. He's not helpful, but he's not helpful with garage sales. I love my husband, but he's the kind that's like, we'll just donate it all. It's cool. I don't want to work a garage sale. And I'm like, we're doing it. We're doing it. He's like, okay, if you do it, you're on your own.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So it was all decided beforehand that he would not be, you know, going to the bank to get my change.
Right.
And he was still asleep at 6:45 in the morning. So anyway, I started with no change. Nothing was priced. And I just, like, rolled with it. And, like, it was, like, just people were like paying no in small change? Bills. No change. And I was like, hey, I haven't had a chance to go to the bank yet. You always act like you were going to. You just haven't yet. Which at that moment I didn't, but then I learned how to do it. I haven't had a chance to go to the bank yet, so if you have like small bills or change, it would be great. So then if it's like $5, well, I have $2 or this 10, it's like $2. And then I just like got change, and then I had change to make change after the first, you know, whatever. Right. So I figured it out. Usually the people who come first thing in the morning for a garage sale are the ones with a fanny pack full of change.
Oh my goodness.
So usually they'll have it figured out.
It's like a whole subculture you're revealing to me right now.
Oh yeah. Okay, so signs.
Okay.
These are important, folks.
Are we in the advertising your sale section?
Right. So go to the bank as if you're pre-planning. You know, you go to the bank a couple days before. Get your change.
So far, we gather items.
Right.
Go to the bank.
Gather items. Go to the bank. Signs. These are a great motivator. Okay. Make them general. Friday, Saturday, 7 a.m. to ...
Okay.
What that means is, if it's a slow day and I decide I'm over this, I can close down at 11. If I put 7 a.m. to 2, you better be out there to 2 because people be crazy.
Right.
So I put 7 a.m. to ... I don't put the dates. I put them up on Wednesday and it says Friday and Saturday. And then every single time I have a garage sale, my signs can be reused.
Oh.
So you can, I also put like the address. So I put like, you know, I drive around and set all the signs up, but I just have signs now that I
like,
use every
garage
sale.
Like what would your address say? Like just for example.
555. Okay, so signs are great. Pricing and strategy. People like things to be priced, as do I when I go to a garage sale. I don't like to have to ask because I like to see if it's priced. However, that's one of the things that takes the longest to do when you're planning. Mm. And usually the prices change like 5 times throughout the day. I like start out with high hopes. And then, like, I slash it one
just
hour in.
Just take it.
And then literally by the end, I'm like, just take it. I don't want. Please take. Here's a nickel. Take it. I'll throw the nickel.
That's
at
why
the
I always arrive right at ...
Yeah. Yes.
Just try to get the closing.
You just
deal.
Do the slow drive by. So what I found is an alternative to pricing every single individual item is pricing
a table?
Tables or groups.
Ooh.
So everything on this table is $1. Everything on this table is $3. Everything on this table is $0.25.
And then the guy that showed up at 6:45 is like moving stuff to another table.
Right, just moving things all around. But people don't really move stuff to tables.
What if I wheel this lawnmower over
oh,
this
stop
table?
It, guy. We need to name him. I feel like he's like
it's, you know who it is?
Jeff.
It's our first listener.
It's our first listener.
Who was
Larry?
What's his name?
Brian? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Oh, sorry,
if you've been listening since the beginning, tell us who we said
your
our
name
first
is.
Listener was.
Okay, but general tables make it easier. And then, even if I don't have the tables marked, I usually put little signs on them, but you can even kind of tell people.
Marty!
Marty! It was Marty! Marty, our one listener. That's when we were recording episodes before we had ever released an episode. This
okay,
is just like nostalgia.
So don't be a Marty at a garage
don't
sale.
Don't be a Marty at a garage sale. Play by the rules.
Okay.
Even though the person throwing it's not. Okay. So, it also makes, if people get annoyed that you don't have everything individually priced, then at least it makes it look like you have somewhat of your stuff together. Because you're like, oh, that table over there is all $1. That table, you know, shirts are $1. And then it's like stuff generally marked, but then you can just change one sign and
yes.
Everything's priced down instead of like,
look at you.
Every trinket has a quarter sticker on it.
And you put like a big
it's
sign.
Ridiculous.
It's like, roll back.
Right, right. And then you're like crossing every individual sticker for like, I mean, you know, it's
that's
a garage sale. Come on, people.
Horrible. Yes. And I'm equating it to like a thrift store when you show up and you're like, all shirts are $3. You're like, ah, the great equalizer. You don't have to be like, what's
yes.
this one?
Yes.
Do I like it more than this one?
Doesn't matter. It's a garage sale, people.
Yeah.
Okay. So that brings me, okay. So that falls under the don't give yourself an excuse not to do it. You can make it work even if you price nothing. Even if you have no change from the bank, I've made it work. And I will say, too, sometimes I'm like, this last garage sale I had, I was literally the night before, I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to only do it Saturday. I'm not going to do it Friday. I hadn't even put the signs out yet. And then I woke up on Friday, and I just thought, oh, it's 7 a.m. My daughter already woke me up, so I'm going to leave her with Jonathan. I guess I'll go just start organizing today. Mm-hmm. And I'll organize today, and I'll have the sale tomorrow. And then I got out there and I thought, I'm out here in my garage with my garage sale stuff. It's just not like displayed, like organized through. It's just kind of in boxes and piles. So then I thought, well, I'll just open the garage door. And like, if people come,
I just was like, I'm out here anyway. So I just opened the garage door and people started stopping. And I was like, hey, I'm not really starting the sale until tomorrow. I'm just kind of getting everything organized, but feel free to look through.
This is a soft opening.
Yes. And then people were like, ooh, I'm getting in on the ground floor. Hasn't even opened yet. But it's an excuse. No one was ticked at me that it wasn't ready. It was like, ooh. Hey, you're here early. If you wanted to be like organized in like little price tables, then come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And no one complained. Everyone was like, fine. And I sold almost everything my first day.
Ooh.
I killed it.
You should just lie from now on.
Just be a liar. No, don't be a liar. But all I'm saying is there's creative ways to do it. These are all times that I've had a garage sale when I could have given up and not had a garage sale. And I've just kind of pushed through and been like, you know what? No, I'm going to do it and I'm just going to half open. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to have it perfect. I don't have to have everything priced. I don't have to have $400 worth of change or whatever. I wouldn't suggest anyone have $400 mm-hmm. worth of change at a garage sale either.
All right, I'm going to pause you right there.
Uh-huh.
Because... listeners, we all have a garage sale that we don't think we're good enough for, that we're overwhelmed by.
Is this a life moment? Okay.
Could you hit me up with some background music? That we think, is my stuff good enough? Am I organized enough? What if something goes wrong? What if no one buys it? What's your garage sale? Maybe you need to just open the garage door. Just open the door and see what happens.
And walk through it. People will come. If you build it, they will come.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Is that you?
No. Yeah, it was me.
Okay, and we're back.
I said that. Okay, so here's my other thing about pricing. Everyone needs to raise their pin with the red light and do a men in black flash and forget what you paid for the item.
Ugh.
Because you will never be able to price an item.
So true.
If you remember what you paid for it.
Or even with donating, you're like,
even donating,
you have to just
raise that men in black red flash yourself.
Yep.
However you want to do it. And forget what you paid for the item, because you will have an anger in your heart when you see someone complaining about the Anthropology sweater and trying to talk you down from $5 to $1. You will have hatred in your heart for them, and it's not healthy. But they don't know Anthropology.
Mm-mm.
And it's not their problem.
Nope.
You want to get rid of the thing, and you need to be happy. Tell them you'll take three. Take the three measly dollars that you can never buy anything at Anthropology for and hope that all of your little $3 combined gets you one discounted thing at Anthropology.
Yeah, and maybe you can think about it like you rented the item. Like you know, you still got your value out of it.
You rented it for $135.
Exactly.
No, but that's, you can't think about it.
Can't do it.
Okay. Day of the sale. Oh, I've kind of hopped here, but you know, coffee, period. That's the first thing. It's very important.
For you,
two, creepers will knock on the door. Just for you.
Just for you. Don't
no, just
coffee.
Fuel. Okay. I mean, when we were little, if I had kids elementary school age, I would be selling coffee and donuts.
Aww.
For tips, because we made bank when I was little.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Like $1.50 for like a little cup of coffee and a Krispy Kreme or something. And you're like, that cost mom and dad 35 cents and I'm making $1.50. You make more on that than the garage sale.
You're that's like, this work is now a donut sale.
You need a cute kid. Yeah. So coffee for yourself. People will knock on your door, so maybe leave a sign out on your door saying, hey, sale's in the garage. If it's not open, it's closed. Mm-hmm. Do not, and I repeat, do not open your garage door before you are ready to start. If you crack your garage door one time, they'll get in under it like an alley cat.
Just a whole bunch of Martys will crawl through.
It will be like the Walking Dead. They will be like funneling through. There was, my mom and I had one, and we were like, she was like, don't open it, or they'll start. And I'm like, oh, I know, I won't open it.
Dead.
It's hot, though, can we crack it? And there was, like, literally women, like, coming under the garage door. And then they don't have, okay, if someone's going to crawl under your garage door, they don't have the social cue to know that you're not open when you give them the normal Midwestern, like, hey, well, we're not open, but, like, I guess you can look around if you want, because they're like, oh, you're not open? Well, I walked all the way up this driveway. And you're like, well, you can look, I guess, early. And then they try to talk you down in price, and then you get upset, and you're like, no, we're not open yet. So, garage door sealed tight. And when you open it, you're open.
You know, you actually dispose of a Marty the same way you dispose of a Walking Dead zombie.
How?
You have to
mash their head.
Yeah. It's true. It's the only way to do it.
Oh, okay. Only one's more illegal, and the other one, like, couldn't actually happen in real life.
You have to emotionally mash their head.
Emotionally mash it. Okay. Emotionally, people. Next day of sale, call a local donation place
in our town, Council of the Blind or the Salvation Army will do it. You can just call them and say, hey, do you guys do pickups? I'm having a garage sale today.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can, like, let's say I usually do my garage sale on Friday and Saturday. So let's say Saturday by whatever, 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 3 p.m., however long you want to go. And you say, I'm done. Here's my address. Come get it Saturday, 4 p.m. And then you know in your brain, I have today and tomorrow until 4 p.m. And then there's a truck pulling up to my house. They are taking everything with them, giving me a donation receipt, and they're leaving. I'm not even having to haul this into my car and drive it to a donation place. They literally are coming to pick it up. And then it also puts pressure on you to get rid of things. Now, it's a little bit weird because then you're like, oh, I guess I'll give it to you for a quarter because I don't want to give it away to someone who needs it. But in a way, though, it helps you talk yourself down on the prices because you're like, I'm at the point where I'm literally
a quarter is not nothing.
Giving this away.
Right.
So I might as well sell, you know, 50 things for a quarter and make myself a few bucks.
That's a really good deadline.
Yes. So always like call and go ahead and make the appointment. Nothing goes back into your house.
Nothing.
Nothing goes back into your house. Okay. Fanny pack.
Oh my gosh.
Wear a fanny pack or make sure you have somebody sitting by a cash box. Because people will rob you. I've never been robbed because I'm good.
Because you don't.
And no one's robbed me. I probably could have been robbed.
You don't keep your baggie of change just anywhere.
No, I got myself a fanny pack. Okay, but also as you're going, if you're like doing pretty good and you have like, you know, several 20s or a 50 or whatever, like move it into the house little by little or like have your husband who's like helping emotionally like take some of the cash inside to where it's not just, he'll come out and get the cash. He'll bring me coffee and stuff. He watches Opal. But make sure that you're like funneling a little bit of it inside. So if somebody did walk off with your whatever, if it's on your body, they can't do that. Well, I mean, they could, but it'd be harder. make sure you're doing that so you're not just sitting with like hundreds of dollars on you.
Man, are you going to make hundreds of dollars?
Oh my goodness, hon.
Oh.
We will talk.
Oh. Ooh-hoo.
Okay. You can do it alone. But numbers and a sale buddy are always more fun. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of garage sales alone. I'm kind of weird. I get like on a high. I do a lot alone, and then I just am like, Jonathan, come sit out here, gotta pee! And then he, like, runs out, and I, like, run inside, and, you know, so he does help. Okay, so, garage sale stories. Here are my highlights. I usually make at least hundreds of dollars.
Like, what are we talking here?
Well, there was one time, so this is my Hall of Fame, so don't think I'm, like, selling cars at every garage sale. But we had an Isuzu Rodeo that did not work. It literally died, and we had to have it towed and dropped in our in our driveway.
Okay.
So we're having this garage sale. This was at our old house.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were like, oh, the car. I didn't even know what's wrong with it. We're not, like, car people. Surprise. And I was like, well, I'll just, like, do you want me to slap something on it that says for sale? Jonathan was like, sure. I slap a for sale sign on the Isuzu Rodeo. And some guy comes up, like, a good old boy that's like, he knows how to fix a car. Walks up and's like, how much for the rodeo? I'm like, 800. And I think we bought it from his sister for like 1100 or something, you know, and drove it for a year and a half. And then he was like, doesn't work. And I was like, no. And so I told him everything I knew about it. And I said, it's $800, but you have to drag it off of our driveway. Like, it doesn't run. We don't know what's wrong with it. We think it might be this, but we don't know anything. We know computers and video. We don't know machines like that. We know computer machines. So anyway, he bought it, $800 cash. We, like, found the title, miracle, somewhere in our house. Found the title, gave it to him. He pulls up in a couple hours with this truck and, like, hooks it up and drags it off the driveway. Like, I would have probably paid someone $800 to drag it off of our driveway, but he paid me $800 and, like, took a car at a garage sale.
That's pretty amazing.
I know. And we were like, what's happening?
You're like, could I interest you in a broken chainsaw?
Yeah, could I interest you in this broken chainsaw, sir? Here's my other story, which I almost feel bad for this one, but I so fell into it.
Just I guess tell I could have told him. We'll I could have told him. Horrible.
I could have been nicer. Okay. I wasn't nice. I was a little bit like, okay. So I had a bag of change, my bag of change, right?
Yeah.
And I was going to, like, take it by the bank, and, like, I don't know why I had so much change. It was a big bag, like a gallon-sized baggie of change. About a fourth full, so you have a good idea.
And that's the one in this house right now.
In this house right now. I'm not going to tell you where. So anyway, I go out to start the garage sale, and I had a bunch of ones. Don't ask again why I had all these ones on me. And so I had a bunch of ones and a bag of change, so I didn't go to the bank, right? So I go out there, and it's before the garage sale starts, so I think I'm going to dig out all the quarters of this bag of change.
So I just start like scavenging through, and I spend like 5 or 10 minutes, and I get all the quarters out. I think I got like $30 worth of quarters out of this bag of change. So I have them all like organized. That's going to be like my change. So I scour the bag, and then I set the bag up on the shelf up behind me, like out of the way, not on, on like a table of the garage. Obviously, I'm not going to set change out for people. So I set it, the baggie up. And so during the sale, there's this like older man who comes up and he goes, "You got any pennies?" And I go, yeah, how many pennies do you need?" He's like, "I collect old pennies." And then I go, "Yeah." I was like, "Hey, I have all these pennies over here," thinking like, "Yeah, let's look through them and see if there's any like collectible pennies, you know?" So I was like, "Yeah, I actually have this whole bag of change." And I like, you know, mindlessly pull it off the shelf and plop it down in front of me. And he goes, he goes, "How much do you want for the whole bag?" And I go, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know how much is in the bag." And he goes, "I'll give you $20 for it."
And you knew there's no quarters?
I took $30 worth of quarters out of it that morning. And I go, I mean, I don't know how much is in there. He goes, "Here or no?" He goes, "If I gave you a $20 bill, could I have it? Could, would that, like, would you sell it to me for $20? I was like, "I don't know how much is in it." And he goes, "That's part of the fun."
So he just likes the game. He's a gambler.
Okay. And I was like, I mean, if you want to. And he's like, "Yeah, collect pennies. I'll just look through it." And he's like, "I'll give you $20 for it." And I was like, okay. So he hands me a $20 bill. I hand him this baggie of change with no quarters. I mean, there probably were still some quarters in there. And then I was like feeling bad. And I was like, "Are you sure, sir?" Which I should have said. I took all the quarters out of it. But I didn't.
He wasn't after the quarters.
I know, he was after the pennies. Well, then he told me later, because I like asked him again before he left, because I like, you know, can't let a good deal happen to me, apparently. And he goes, "Actually, I like dumping them out for the grandkids and letting the grandkids dig through and like find the pennies. So it's kind of an activity." So it was fun. But a man paid me $20 for a random baggie of change that was like
Shaley, what not that much. What if he finds a rare penny that's worth like $1,000?
Well, I was about to dump into the change thing at the bank and like pay them a percentage. So he didn't find a rare thing. I wouldn't know what a penny was worth. It's like a Beanie Baby. By the time you buy them all and you go through what they're worth online, like, it's a full-time job. So congrats. That Beanie Baby, you made $20,000 in a year. Oh, I sound so cynical. Oh, garage sales bring this out in me. I'm edgy. Okay. Bag of change story. Okay, quick. Any questions you have on garage sales?
Whew, I had no idea.
I commandeered this episode, man.
I had no idea. I am so convinced that I will never have a garage sale
now. Really?
I live in the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah. You can be my friend.
They don't even deliver pizzas to me.
No.
They will not come pick up
mine. You're lucky Amazon knows where you live.
I know. I know.
Thanks, drones. Okay, so quick takeaway. Don't put it off or you'll never do it.
Okay.
And that includes organizing your house and garage sales. You won't miss the stuff, I promise. That goes with both as well. Don't expect thousands of dollars.
Unless you've got a rodeo.
Unless you've got a car that doesn't run. But use the money for something fun or practical. So say like, "Honey, let's go through the house. Let's blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to put that towards this credit card we're trying to pay off. Or we're going to put it towards a vacation that we're saving up for." Mm-hmm. So then instead of being like, "Cool, $300, like 2 days of my life. Was that worth $300? Look at it more as though, "Hey, I got paid $300 to declutter my house, and we're putting that towards this road trip we're wanting to do or something."
Yeah.
And it makes a little bit more
this
like
one weekend trip, weekend getaway in a cabin.
Right. A cheap, cheap cabin.
One night in a cabin.
But we've made like, I mean, we made, I think, $1,500 the one time we sold a car, but that would have been like $600 or $700.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. And then, or you could use it for something practical, like just like more stuff.
Like you could go garage sailing.
Just like go spend it on more garage sales and then buy more stuff.
I love thrifting. You ever been to Council of the Blinds? I will say, can I just end this on? If you, first of all, I love your passion.
Thank you.
I love it. And I am very inspired. Not enough to do it. But I
garage
would like,
sailing is not for the faint of heart.
I would like to come over the next time you do it, and I'll bring a table and a big item.
Okay. Okay, cool.
But I am a very frugal person. You can attest.
Mm-hmm.
One time I texted Shaylee because I used half of my root dye. I bought hair dye, which was only $6.
Yeah.
And I was like,
touch-up.
I think I can use half of this and half later. And then I go, "Oh no, am I their cheapest friend you've ever known?" And you go, "Maybe.
Maybe."
So I'm very, very frugal, and I do love a good deal, and I don't buy things very often. In general, I don't really buy things.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I'm totally fine with donating stuff. And I think the thing is I have this little woo-woo spirit thing inside me that's like, someone needs this, and if I'm ever in need, it will come back to me. And mm-hmm. I have a tiny story.
Okay.
That if this is your first episode, I had 3 kids, and we were done. Spoiler. It's foreshadow.
Spread.
And we donated all of our baby things.
Mm-hmm.
Donated all. All of it. That's right, and done. As I was donating, I was like, this is going to bless somebody. Somebody's going to need this. Like, this is a really nice car seat set, and it's still, right. like, it's still great. Valuable. It's in great shape.
It's only been in 4 crashes.
No crashes.
I'm just kidding.
No crashes. Still, like, still U.S. whatever approved. I don't know. And I'm just going to donate it. And then, sure enough, surprise, little Sadie, the cutest baby in the entire world.
Pops herself into the universe.
So happy that she's here. But we didn't have any baby gear.
You literally, like, months. It had been, months.
Actually, he donated the crib while I was pregnant. We didn't know it.
So crazy. Because you didn't know it for 11 weeks.
But then crazy things kept happening. Like, shout out Rachel Denbo's, like, I'm getting rid of a crib. I heard you were pregnant. Do you want it? Yes.
Yes,
what
Rachel.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, the one, the exact IKEA crib I just added to cart and was like, gonna buy it next time I was in Kansas City. And then someone was like, I have a swing. I don't know if you like this kind. Oh, the exact Mama Roo brand that I was like, I mean, they were good things. And even now, like, as we're winding down on them, I'm like, I cannot wait to bless someone else with this. So I just feel like, yes, you can make a couple $100, but also there's something kind of generous about, like, being generous and it comes back to you, and it's the circle of generosity.
And I feel
you
like
can cut someone and get $20 out of your coin bag.
Blessing an old man with my bag of empty change is gonna give his grandkids hours of fun.
Hours.
I'm blessing people with a good deal.
A really good deal, because your stuff is good. It's curated.
Well, you know, what can I say? Now I just have to get pregnant before you give that Mama Roo away.
Serious.
I'm just kidding.
Serious.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so we're just in time for our segment.
Yes.
Okay. Shaylee is really good at garage sales. I don't know if you guys know this.
I love garage sales.
So we're going to do a little role playing.
Ooh.
I'm going to be a customer.
Okay.
And I'm just going to test out some of your customer service. Okay.
Okay.
So let's apply.
Hold on. How early is this? Am I asleep?
Oh, I'll set the scene. Don't
okay.
you worry.
Okay.
Okay. We begin in bed.
Wait, us?
Well, Shaylee's in bed.
Okay. I'm in bed.
So let's see what you've learned.
Okay.
Let's see if you can make some money while maintaining your cool.
Okay.
Providing good customer service.
Okay.
This is the pro in action.
Customer's always right. Okay.
Keep throwing some curveballs.
Okay, I'm sleeping. Okay.
Hey, it's Marty. I'm in your window. Hello? You asleep?
Hi. Oh my gosh. I thought that was closed.
Is your garage sale inside your bed?
Oh, no. It's in the garage sale.
Well, you should have put that on the sign.
Okay.
I'm Marty.
I'm Marty.
Classic Marty.
Can you come back around like 8 a.m.?
I cannot. Hang on. There's a crack in your garage.
Are you wearing my sweater already? Are you in my sweater? Be careful. That's my Anthropology. It's not stretch. Oh, you ripped it.
Anthropology, like ape studies?
You ripped it.
Mm.
Marty. That'll be $5.
Oh, $5? Would you take this mystery bag? It could have $5 in it. It could have no dollars in it.
I'll take a
It could have my collection of human skin.
I'll take a $5
That's
bill.
That's part of the fun!
I'll take a $5 bill, Marty. Thank you.
What about the mystery bag?
Okay.
What's your name, miss?
Oh, Shaylee.
I'm gonna level with you, Shaylee. It's human skin in the mystery bag.
Yay!
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
We're so in sync. Like the band.
When I'm with you, I feel it too. Here comes Harmony.
Feel the same. With or without you. We're dancing. You just can't see it. It's really good. Okay.
That was worth it.
Yeah, we're in sync. I meant when I said in sync, I meant like our brains, our minds, our bodies and our minds. Cut that. Okay.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love hearing from you on Instagram, emails, and especially iTunes reviews. Reviews help others hear about the podcast, and we read every single one. We also really appreciate you guys who share the podcast with your friends on social media. If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com, or you can find us at shayleeandkatie.com. We couldn't do it without you, and we love you.